Church, I can't tell you how much I appreciate being back in your midst. I have missed you terribly. I love you guys, and it's good to be back in your midst. Even those that give me grief, I love dearly. They're waving back. It's good to see everybody online as well. I know you're joining us there, and it's good to be with you in worship no matter how we get together. I want to put together just a few announcements quickly. The first one is this. We have a session meeting on June 11th that we're going to have a plan to put in place. At that time, we hope to reconvene in the church. Now, we know some folks are going to want to stay outside. They want to stay at home. They don't want to be in that group anymore. We're going to continue streaming online, but that plan will be put together in the next couple of weeks. So stick around for that. We are going to be getting back in the sanctuary soon in whatever manner that we can figure out how to do safely. So that's number one. Number two, we have a wonderful opportunity presented to us by our seminary. That's called Seminary Sunday Mornings, and during June, during July, and during August, there are going to be some of the seminary professors teaching, like, the Book of Mark, spirituality in the midst of crisis, like COVID. And this is going to be a fantastic opportunity. I've taken classes under all of these professors, and you not have to worry about stuffy types, you know, like that. These are down-to-earth folks, stuffy like somebody up here. These are down-to-earth folks, and they're able to teach these things in a wonderful, wonderful way. So I hope that you become a part of this. If you want to, go to our website, send me an email, send me a text if you need to JenkinsPastor@gmail.com or to my text, or my cell phone, and you'll get a link that goes to these lessons each Sunday morning. It's from 9 to 10. It'll be a fantastic opportunity, and I really hope you're a part of it. If we get back in the sanctuary, we'll broadcast it in there for that hour prior to the worship service somehow. So be a part of that. And the last thing I want to tell you is I want to thank the session of this church. I have been provided an opportunity to go back to school in the fall. And so I'm going to go back to do some more education in August. And the session is allowing me to do that while I'm pastoring the church. And I just want to thank the session so much for allowing me to go that path. So thank you all for that as well. Those are our announcements. If you have anything that you need to let me know about, send me a text, whatever. We'll make the announcements. If you know anybody that's ill or in need of prayer, make sure you let us know that too, because we want to make sure we get on a prayer list so that folks are praying for the people who need it. So let's have our call to worship this morning. It comes from Psalm 104. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, this morning we do recognize that whatever you touch is amazing. Whatever you look upon trembles. Whatever you do is the best thing that can be done. And so we come here in this parking lot. We come together online. We do it however that we do, because we want to make sure we sing praises to you while we have our being. We meditate on you, Lord, and pray to you and think about you, hoping, God, that we think about you in the right way. So we ask you to lead us there. But this time of worship is purposeful because we know who's in charge. And we ask you, O Lord, on this day of Pentecost, this day when we celebrate the beginning of the church, that you begin something new in us as you always do. Lord, we ask these things in your name. And God's people said, amen, amen.
On this Pentecost Sunday, how many of you remember the time that Jesus came into your life? How many of you remember how you were changed as a person? How many of you still waiting on that? There is never a time that's too late for that time to come in your life. And that's why we're here, to celebrate when the Holy Spirit fell down upon us and gave us the power and the might of a life in abundance through Christ Jesus. Y'all know this song. It's peppy. You ready, Philip? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, have all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure, since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt may my pathway obscure, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. There's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. And the gates of the city beyond I can see, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy is onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart.
I would honk too if I had something to honk with up here. That was absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. I want to let you all know that we are still in the process of making sure that people in our community are taken care of. Just this week, we've taken care of electric bills. This week, we're providing food to a family. And so we thank you for the opportunity to do those things through such things as your tithes and your giving. Remember that we can do that online. You can go to the website and take care of that, or I can take them in person and take them inside, however you choose to. But thank you so much for continuing to give to the church so we can do those types of things. Our scripture this morning comes two of them. I was told very seriously when I was in seminary not to ever preach on two sermons. My preaching teacher told me never to preach on two scriptures, rather. And so don't let her know that I'm doing this, but I'm going to preach on two different ones. The first one is from Acts. The second one is from 1 Corinthians, and they read this way. This is Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And this from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 13. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another one a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another is speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all His many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we're all given the one Spirit to drink. So as I read this scripture, it brings me to ask simply one question. Do y'all feel as helpless right now as I do? Not hopeless, mind you. I got hope. I believe in Jesus. Amen. I got hope. I'm talking about helpless. And I do feel helpless. I feel like I don't have much help I can give to this world. And dude, right now, this world sure does feel like it needs some help. COVID isn't going away anytime soon, nor are the arguments about it. And there's not one thing I feel like I can do to change it. I wake up every morning and the world's staying the same way. I try to stay inside. I try to be responsible. But life can't be lived in solitude. We know that. We got to work. We got to play. We got to hug our moms. We got to hug longtime friends. And so we social distance as best we can because we respect others and we don't want to get any sick. But dude, the whole thing we're dealing with seems a whole lot bigger than what we are. So I feel a little helpless. I feel like there's not a whole lot I can do to make any of it any better. And now we've added the current situation in our country, the death of another black man, and now riots we find ourselves in just a dozen miles away. Now don't worry, I'm not going to get political. Get your hands off your gear shifts. We're not going there. Don't worry about it. I'm only asking, do you feel helpless in these days? I do. I feel helpless that I can't calm out of control situations. I feel helpless that I can't explain why others are so angry. I feel helpless as if nothing I do helps in the least. The world is just going to go the direction it's going, I'm afraid, and we feel helpless that there's nothing we can do about it. There's still death. There's still injustice. There's right or wrong. There will be hatred and anger and violence, racism and bigotry in going anywhere. And neither are those that lash out when they're fed up. Let's call it like it is, please. Ain't no beating around the bush this morning. I'm talking about real stuff today. And my point is I don't care which side of these arguments you're on, whether you agree with this side or that, we all feel helpless in it. Tell me you don't, and I won't believe you much because I feel helpless. Maybe it's just me. Maybe y'all feel like y'all are in control. But if you're like me, the question I have for it is, what in the world do we do now? What do we do when we feel helpless? What do we do when we feel like what we do doesn't matter at all? Do we just stop? Do we hunker down? Do we firm up with our side and set walls against the other people? What do we do when we feel hopeless, helpless? See, that's the question. That's the million-dollar question. What do we do? And here's the thing. Here it is. I've got good news this morning. The faith answers these kind of questions. There is beauty in these questions because we can find the answer when we turn to the faith. And so if I ask my Lord, if I ask my faith that question, well, church, I got good news. We have an answer on Pentecost, and it is specifically that we are never helpless. We have the Spirit of God in us. So when we are people of faith, when we live in the way of Jesus Christ, we may feel helpless, but we are never helpless. I need somebody to hear this, me this morning. We need to hear this. What I'm saying is that even when you feel helpless, you have a helper beside you. When we feel helpless, we're focusing on the wrong thing. Because let me tell you now, the Christian is never, ever helpless. That's the beauty of our faith, is that our God does not leave us to ourselves, because God knows what we're going to talk about when we're alone with the serpent. God doesn't leave us to our own devices, but God gave us a helper, God's own Spirit, that propels us forward in this world. Y'all, we've got the Spirit of God in us. We're not helpless at all. Let me break it down like this for you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was resurrected, and that sure got some people wondering what was going on. And after he came out of the grave, he met with his apostles. He met with other people. He let Thomas touch his side. He ate with them. He hung out with them. He told them that they were going to go do great things in the name of the Lord. And that's fantastic. Don't you know all those people were excited to go about doing Jesus things in Jesus' name? In fact, the 11 had already elected a 12th to replace Judas, so they were gearing up. But what could they do, those 12 people? Were they just supposed to go start telling people about God all of a sudden? Were they just supposed to go do what Jesus did? Were they supposed to go spreading Jesus' teachings and his way all to the corners of the globe, to the ends of the earth, and to all people? How were 12 people supposed to do that? I mean, shoot, some folks killed Jesus for it. What might happen to them? And though they were charged, there seemed to be an uneasy feeling. If you read the scripture, I can imagine they felt a little bit helpless. We know that, don't we? Don't we know that feeling? Don't we sometimes wonder how in the world we're going to share the gospel or even live like it if we live like Jesus lived it? We feel helpless. Who am I going to tell the gospel to that I hadn't already heard it at some point? What am I going to do that leads in Jesus' name? That's real, man. What's our purpose is the question we ask. A purpose-driven life. Somebody made $1 million or more writing a book about that. And I'm going to change course here. But I think that there's a better way to understand this feeling of helplessness in the faith. I'll say it like this. You know, one of my favorite moments of the year is when I see the very first snowflake. I don't mean a bunch of snow. I mean where you're driving along maybe in November and it's gotten cold and you see a snowflake suddenly flash in front of your headlight. You know what I'm talking about? And you go, did I just see some snow? And you see another one over on the other side and you recognize that's the beginning of winter. And it's cool because snow is cool and you just saw the first snowflake of the year. But those snowflakes that you see there are gone before you realize it. They're gone before they do anything. They don't even hit the ground, really. They just melt as soon as they make contact. And it doesn't collect on the roof. It doesn't collect on your windshield wipers. You can't see it on the sidewalk. They don't affect the world at all, really, other than just a fleeting glance here and there. As original as a snowflake is, it's gone. We really don't get big snows around here anymore, but I remember one time when all those snowflakes did what snowflakes do when they come together. They made a bunch of snow that changed the world for a while. When I was a kid, and one day it started snowing, and then it kept snowing, and then the winds blew, and the clouds formed, and the temperature dropped, and for a couple of days, those snowflakes really started blowing, and then they started working together, doing what they were made to do, and it snowed, and it kept snowing, and we had this little car, an MG Midget. You remember those cars? We had one in the backyard. We were holding it for a family member, and so it was just parked back there. And that snow built, and that snow built, and that snow built, and I swear to you, it ended up burying that car. The winds had blown, and it made a snow drift, so that the only thing you could see was the convertible top of that little red MG Midget. It was a fantastic snow, man. We stomped out in it. We took pictures of the car. I didn't know there was that much snow in the world when it happened. And of course, I was a kid, so it was my job to go shovel the driveway, and when I did, it piled up high on each side of the driveway. I remember the grocery stores had to scrape their big parking lots, and out in the middle, they just piled the snow up as high as they could. Even after it had warmed up a good bit, the piles of snow just stayed there. All the rest of the snow in the world was gone, but those in the parking lot were still there. When we're helpless, we feel like that little single fleeting snowflake just blowing by, you know? We don't feel like what we do matters. We see a family member rocking the wrong way, and when we say something, we barely get a glance. You see something at work and you think it can be fixed, a suggestion, a memo, whatever, and nobody notices it. You see politics and wonder how this person or that person ever got elected in office in the first place. It's a helpless feeling we all have. But here's the thing. The reason we feel helpless is that we can't do it by ourselves. It's not what we decide that we do in the world that matters. We're not in control. It's what God does through us with the gifts that have been given to us by the Spirit of God, because God's in the one that's in control. Amen. What matters is that we give gifts for the common good that were given to us by the Holy Spirit, and we simply use that. Rather than relying on ourselves, we have a helper to do all that God and our neighbor needs us to do. The Spirit gave us a gift, y'all, and do we dare trust that? See, what happened on that day when all those people were gathered in one place is that the Spirit of God showed up so much that nobody could dismiss it again. And when the Spirit showed up, Paul said it gave everybody some gifts. And when we use those gifts for the common good, God can change some things. We can't, but our helper can. When we blow by in the world not using our gifts, but just trying to look good, we melt away. But when we live as God intended, using our gifts of wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing and miracles and prophecy and tongues and interpretations of tongues and loving and caring and nurturing and feeding and empathizing and grace and mercy and love for others as much as we love ourselves, when we use those gifts as God gave us to use, and if we use them in the spirit in which God gave it to us in the first place, then suddenly Christians start piling up like a beautiful snow. When through the Spirit of God we use gifts of caring about others and empathy and not defending our side but listening to the hurts of everyone, and when we live in the way of Jesus Christ because the Spirit led us to, then suddenly Christians gather into snowdrifts that cover up the brokenness of this world. It's through the power of the Spirit that all these gifts were given to us, blowing us together, causing us to bond, to become one in the name of God, and to live a life together that looks absolutely as much like Jesus Christ as it possibly can. And when that happens, folks, we are a long way from helpless. Look, 10 snowflakes can't do anything. But if you get 2 inches together, you can shut down Nashville. A snow shower doesn't change anything, but you put enough of it together and you can ski down a mountain. A Christian doing his thing here and there is all well and good, and somebody might even take notice for a brief second. But y'all, everybody doing their part with the gifts that the Spirit that God gave them will turn the church into a blizzard of grace. It'll turn a Sunday school class into a Sunday school squall. I'm saying that if Christians make sure we're using our gifts together, everyone in this world will take notice. Nobody can miss what we do if we love our God and love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Now, I got 2 things left and I'm done. First one is this. You got to use your gift. I'm going to thank God right now that there are no free rides in the faith. The faith may be free, but it'll cost us everything. What did James say? Something along the lines of, show me your faith and I'll show you my works, because faith without works is dead. Let's say that first. If the Spirit of God gave you a gift, you cannot not use it. And the other thing is this. If the gift you think you have is not for the common good, then it's not a gift of the Spirit. If the gift is not for the betterment of all humanity and all of creation, then that's not a spiritual gift. It's a world's gift. That's what the Scripture says. That's not Jason. That's Paul. He said that to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Common good. We can't miss that part. Common good. The good that's done for everybody, not just a few. Common good so that others who were left out now receive the same goodness that we did. Common good, so I'm not worried about how I look. I'm worried about how you look. That's common good, and it's hard, and it's tough, and it's not what the world wants us to worry about, yet it's exactly what the gifts of the Spirit are all about. So when we display our gifts, we better be asking, is this good for all of creation? Because if we can say no, then we have to be suspect. But if it is for the common good, if that gift blesses the common good, then folks, pile it on the world. Let that gift go. Give that gift until God gives you another gift to give. Let the Spirit blow wherever the Spirit blows. Don't duck. Don't shield yourself from the wind. Spread that gift in the world alongside all the rest of the people of the faith that are doing the same thing. And watch the glory of God unfold, church. It won't be missed. It'll be seen everywhere. Y'all, today celebrates the day when the Spirit came into this world and the church was born. And what I'm saying to you now is, let us always let the church be what it's supposed to be. And it's supposed to be a tidal wave. It's supposed to be a monsoon. It's supposed to be a blizzard, an ocean, a forest, a gathering of people who show the world what it means to live life loving God and loving other people every bit as much as we love ourselves. And God forbid the world sees it, because they'll have never seen something so beautiful in all their lives. They'll see God's way at work. And we'll be a part of it, because church, we are not helpless. We'll have the greatest help of all, We'll have the Spirit of God shining through us for the world to see. I want to be a part of that so that I never feel helpless ever again. And if you want to be a part of that too, let all of God's people say, Amen. Amen. I thank you all for sharing in the parking lot. One thing I do want to tell you, once we decide when we're going to go back in, we'll have a week or two where we don't have a parking lot service so we can get used to being back inside again. I don't think it'll be next Sunday. I don't know when it's going to be yet, but just keep your eye out for some updates. God bless all y'all. Let's live life in the Spirit. Assurance, I want to read to you a few prayer requests that we had that came through. Paul and Shelby Ward, this is the Mary Floyd's sister and sister's husband. We need to be in prayer for them. Jackie Bullard and the Rudolph family. The family of Linda Berry, her nephew died and suddenly leaving children behind. I hate to hear that. Prayers of protection for Michael Habegger as he works. Prayers for Shelby and Paul Ward. This is Mary Floyd's family again. And then my mom says that she needs a hug, so I'm going to figure out a way to hug her. And so y'all pray for that as well. Let's go to God in prayer again, please. Lord, you hear these prayer requests, and you hear so many more that we have as we hear them. We recognize, Lord, that part of our help is that we get to come to you and lift up those who are in need and call on you to do something in that, either through others or through us. And we ask, Lord, that you give us ears to hear about how we can do that best. So, gracious God, we ask that you then bless us as we leave here so that we can go out into the world and live out our spiritual gifts as you called us to live them, and allow us to gather up and show people what it looks like when we all come together and serve you as one. So, gracious God, bless us as we leave here. And we thank you, Lord, that we get to be a part of this day. And all of God's people said, amen. Hear the benediction. Go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, go in mercy, and go live out your spirit. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. Amen.